Baruchim Abayim, ladies. We are studying today Parashat Metzora, or as our custom we refer to the Parashah as Parashat Tahor. The theme of our Parashah is of course the subject of Lashon Hara. The Torah talks about the punishment that somebody incurs if they abuse their speech. They receive a disease called Sara'at, which maybe in the English they refer to it as leprosy. Most of the rabbis understand this disease to be spiritual. That when one abuses the gift of speech, whether he speaks Lashon Hara, he speaks negative about people, or he speaks gossip, or deceit, lies, whatever it may be, when he uses his speech for the wrong things, so there's a punishment that comes on the person's body. It's on the skin, on the flesh, and it's called Sara'at. Our rabbis tell us that speaking bad language is as if one transgresses the entire Torah. One that speaks Lashon Hara, it's as if he goes against the five books of Moses. How do we know that? The rabbis tell us that in every one of the books there is a mention of the dangerous effects of abuse of speech. In the book of Bereshit, on page 1, the Torah tells us that the snake, the Nahash, seduced Hava. How did he seduce her? With speech. What did he tell her? You can eat from the tree. But she said, but God said, don't eat from the tree. Because God knows if you eat from the tree, you're going to be like him. And he doesn't want competition. And therefore the snake spoke Lashon Hara about God. That was the first sin in history. Lashon Hara. And we are still suffering today the damages of that sinful speech. Later on in the book of Bereshit, we read about the story of Yosef HaSadiq. Yosef and the brothers got into a fight. That fight eventually caused the brothers to sell him. Eventually the Jewish people went down to Egypt and the exile began. But what was the fight? Because it says Yosef went to the father Yaakov and tattletailed on them. Vayaveh Yosef iddibbatam ra'a el avihim. Lashon Hara. The brothers are doing this, the brothers are doing that. The brothers got angry. What are you telling daddy? Come to us straight. And because of that sin of Lashon Hara, the exile began. That's in the book of Bereshit. In the book of Shemot, we read a story how Moshe Rabbeinu killed an Egyptian. The Egyptian was a bad man, and Moshe Rabbeinu did away with him. He thought nobody was watching. But the next day, Datan v'Aviram came to Moshe Rabbeinu and told them, are you going to kill us like you killed the Egyptian yesterday? And they went to Paro and they told on Moshe. Imagine that, they went to the government and they told the government, we know who killed the Egyptian, it was Moshe. And Moshe had to run away from Egypt for many years. He didn't come back until 40 years later he was exiled. Until he came back to redeem the Jewish people. Again, you see the Torah makes it a point about the danger or the negativity of bad speech. Not only that, in the same story it says God tells Moshe, go to Egypt and tell the Jewish people you're going to redeem them. It's good news. Moshe Rabbeinu says, they're not going to believe me. God says, why you speak bad about my children? My children are ma'aminim, b'nei ma'aminim. They're believers. And God tells Moshe, put your hand in your pocket. And he says, take your hand out of your pocket. And he had leprosy all on his hand. And our rabbis teach us, because you spoke about the Jewish people, why do you say they're not going to believe you? They will believe you. Then we go to the book of Vayikra, which is the book that we're in now, the third book of the Torah. And we have two parashiyot that are dedicated to the laws of leprosy. Last week's parashat Tazria, this week's Mitzorah. Hundreds of pisukim that talk about the punishment for the abuse of speech. We go to the next book, Bamidbar. There we have two stories. One story is Miriam and Nevi'ah, the great prophetess, spoke Lashon Hara about Moshe. I'm not too sure what the Lashon Hara was. It needs great analysis what she said. I know one thing for sure, she didn't mean it. It was unintentional. She loved her brother. But on her high level, the Torah says she spoke about her brother. What happened? God said she must leave the camp for 7 days. She had to go outside in solitary confinement. And guess what happened to her body? It became filled with leprosy. Moshe Rabbeinu sends 12 spies to the land of Israel. 10 of the 12 spies come back and they say the land is no good. And they spoke Lashon Hara about the land of Israel. And as a result of that bad report, the Jewish people ended up accepting the bad report, which they shouldn't have accepted. God said it's a good land. Why did you accept it? And eventually, the whole generation died in the desert, and none of those people went into the Holy Land. That's in the book of Bamidbar. Then go to the book of Devarim. On page 1, on the book of Devarim, Moshe Rabbeinu rebukes the Jewish people. Why? Because they were complaining about the man, the food that came down from heaven. And the Jewish people were coming along and they were making fun, they were talking light of the man. And God got angry at the Jewish people as well. So you see, every book, Bereshit, Shemot, Vayikra, Bamidbar, Devarim, every book has a story about somebody speaking bad and about the great punishment. And that's why it says, Zot Torah Mitzorah, that if a person speaks Lashon Hara, it's as if he transgresses the entire Torah. Shlomo HaMelech says in his Mishle, Shomer Piv Ulshono, Shomer Mitzarot Nafsho. What does he mean? One that watches his mouth and his tongue, Shomer Piv Ulshono, Shomer Mitzarat Nafsho, he saves himself from trouble. The simple interpretation is, all our trouble comes from what we speak. You can't get in trouble if you didn't say it. One president once said, I never had to retract something I didn't say. Means most of our problems because we said something, we shouldn't have said it, it was inaccurate, we feel bad. So save yourself from trouble. Shlomo says, Shomer people shono shomer mitzarat nafsho. But I once saw a chidush. Why does it say two things? Piv ul shono. The mouth and the lashon. And the tongue. So the rabbi said like this. Shomer piv, that's talking about you have to watch what goes in your mouth. That's talking about kosher food. Ul shono, that's talking about what comes out of your mouth. You need to watch not only the export, but also the import. Not only what comes out of one's mouth, but what comes in the mouth as well. Shomer piv ulshono, shomer mitzarat nafsho. I want to make one point. Baruch Hashem, in our generation, the people are very strict, which is nice, when it comes to the laws of kashrut. They all want to know about kosher products. They want to know if it's kasher, are we allowed to eat it? Today people are strict on all levels. Bishul, Bishul Yisrael, Glat, Bet Yosef, Sefaradi. Today the subject of kashrut on bugs, on the worms in the food. Can we eat it? Can we not eat it? But it's not enough to be careful on kashrut. I once saw two boys talking. And what are they talking? They're talking about a certain mashgiach of a restaurant. They're talking, this mashgiach, he doesn't know, he's blind. He doesn't know what he's looking. You cannot trust him. Another one says, you can't eat from his food. Just talking, they don't know any information. In Arabic we say haki balash. Talk is cheap. They don't know any hard information. They're just talking. So I said, you're so careful on kashrut, but on lashon hara you're not careful. You're so worried, is the mashgiach this? You already ruined his reputation in a 2.5 minute conversation, knowing no facts, just talking. You're so pious because you want to make sure the food is kasher. But when it comes to the kashrut of people, when it comes to talking about individuals, lashon hara, then you're not careful. You're only worried about what goes in your mouth, but you're not worried what goes out of your mouth. Of course I told him. And then I saw a derasha on this. It's a derasha. David HaMelech alav shalom said in the pasuk, Va'anochi tola'at ve'lo ish. David HaMelech was very humble. He said, Va'anochi tola'at, I'm nothing, I'm a worm. I'm not a person. This means he's humble. He's saying, no, I'm not hashuv, I'm not important, I'm nothing, I'm like a worm. That's the simple interpretation, that David was being humble. But I once heard a beautiful derasha on this pasuk. David HaMelech lived in a time where he had many enemies. And the enemies would always speak about David HaMelech. They would always ridicule him, they would always talk against him. He had a lot of people that were jealous of him, of course, and they were always looking to ruin his reputation, even though he was a tzaddik. But these same people that ruin his reputation, they don't care about lashon hara, but they're very strict when it comes to kashrut. Bring them a piece of lettuce. No, we can't eat it. There's a bug, there's a worm. This we cannot eat. So David HaMelech says, please, my enemies, v'anochi tola'at, make believe I'm a worm, v'lo ish. Just like you don't eat worms, don't eat me either. Make believe I'm a worm. Anochi tola'at ve'lo ish. People you swallow, but worms I know you don't swallow. So make believe I'm a worm. Which is a very important musar. The religion is not just a religion between man and God, where we can come along and flaunt how kosher our kitchens are, and how careful we are on, we don't eat in this place, we don't eat in that place. And as we're being so strict on kashrut, in the same moment, we're transgressing all the laws between man and his fellow man. And we're talking about people, and we're ruining people's reputations. Lashon hara keneged kulam. Lashon hara is the gravest of all sins. I don't know, we have 613 mitzvot. One of the mitzvot, I shouldn't say that. The Pinei Yoetz writes that when people misuse their speech, it's possible to transgress 60 different sins. Imagine that. If a person wears a suit that has sharpeners in it, a wool and linen blend, he gets one sin. A person, God forbid, eats a cheeseburger, he gets one sin. A person eats on Kippur, he gets one sin. A person speaks bad language, it's possible to transgress 60 sins. And that's why the Hakamim are telling us how careful we have to be, not only on what you eat, but on what you say. Shomer piv ulshono. Piv is kashrut, ulshono is dibur esur. In the olden days, when a person would receive this leprosy, what did he do now? So the Torah says, first of all, the Kohen has to visit him. And the Kohen looks at the leprosy, and he makes a prognosis. And he tells him, yes, this is it. This is leprosy. You must leave the house, and you must go into solitary confinement. And then after 7 days, the Kohen goes to check him, again, a follow-up, to see if it went away. I once asked a simple question. Why do they give the ceremony of the leprosy to the Kohen? Why is it his job? He's not a doctor. I understand the Kohen works in the temple. He brings sacrifices. He does all the service on Kippur. He brings the ketoret, the incense. All the stuff that has to do with the Beit HaMikdash belongs to the Kohen. That's his house. He's God's messenger to do all the service. But in checking for leprosy, why is that also his responsibility? Give it to the rabbis. No, you have to be a Kohen to go check the leprosy and then to tell the person you're better. With your permission, I want to ask you one more question. Before we say today a very big hadush. After the Kohen tells the fellow, you're better, you have to bring a sacrifice now. What's the sacrifice? He goes to the Beit HaMikdash, the fellow, and he has to bring two birds. Tzipurim, birds. And it says, he slaughters one of the birds, and he brings it as a sacrifice. They sprinkle the blood, it's kapara. And then the other bird he takes, and he sets it free. Back into the wilderness. Rashi explains, why does he have to bring a bird? Let him bring a big fat animal. What did he bring a bird for? So, you know why? Because his sin is like the birds. What do the birds do all day long? They chirp. They make noise. And therefore we're telling the fellow, your sin is because you chirp too much. You make too much noise with your speech. You abuse your tongue. And therefore we slaughter the bird as if to tell the guy, stop chirping. Stop making noise. Stop using your mouth for the wrong things. So they slaughter the bird. I accept. A beautiful explanation of Rashi HaKadosh. But Rashi doesn't explain to me, why do I take the other bird and send it free? Slaughter two birds. You know what? Slaughter 10 birds. What do I care how many birds you slaughter? But why do you have to bring two? Slaughter one and then let the other one go free. It's very strange. We don't see this by any other Qurban. Let's say a person has to bring an ox to the Beit HaMikdash. Do we tell him, bring two, slaughter one, and then tell the other one you go home? So what are you bringing it then if it's going to go home anyway? Why tell the guy, bring two birds and let one go free? Don't bring it in the first place. Leave it in his nest. Leave it alone. This is a very strong question. But in order to receive the answer, I need to give you a few introductions. These introductions are valuable on their own. Even if I don't give you the answer to these questions, what I'm going to tell you now is valuable on its own right. There was a great rabbi called the Gaon, the Bidyahu from Vilna. They nicknamed him the Gira. Gira, Gaon, Rabbi Eliyahu. He once asked a question on the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Veda, Lefne mi ata atid liten din v'hashbon. You must know to whom you're going to have to give judgment, din v'hashbon. That means in the future everybody has to go up to a day of reckoning. There's a court. And in the court there's two things that take place. There's din and there's hashbon. What is din? Judgment. Innocent. Guilty. Whatever it is. It'll be innocent, Bezat Hashem. And then the second thing it says, after the judgment, there's hashbon. What does hashbon mean? Calculations. What does calculations mean? I'll tell you what it cannot mean. It cannot mean that first they tell you guilty and then they say, okay, let's calculate what you did. What do you mean? That's the opposite. First they should make hashbon and then deen. First they say, oh, listen, you did this, you did this, okay, let's calculate. One of these, two of those, three of these, four of these, six of these, that's up total is mat, hayab, zakai. So the Gaon asks, why did it say deen be hashbon? It should say hashbon and then deen. It's a very, very strong question. So he answers the following answer. He says, in the heavens, there's always two judgments. The first judgment is a person made a sin, guilty. There's an accountability. That's deen. But then they calculate, during the time of the sin, you could have been doing a mitzvah. You could have been doing something positive. And therefore they hold them responsible again. They make a calculation. What could you have been doing at the time of the sin? You could have done a good deed. So you're guilty again. That means there's always two calculations. Number one, da'avon. And then, what you could have been doing at the time that you did da'avon. That's a double sin. The din ve'ashbon. Example. If a person, let's say, made a sin for 15 minutes. Took him 15 minutes, he was involved in a sin. Whatever the sin was. So the Shamayim tell, listen, we're looking at the record over here, we're looking at the video, 15 minutes you did a sin, deen. And then they tell him, you know what you could have been doing in those 15 minutes? You could have been helping people, you could have been doing chesed, you could have visited somebody, all it takes 15 minutes to visit somebody, to cheer them up. So you get another judgment, hashbon. If I take a $100 bill, and I burn it, literally I burn the $100 bill, it's a sin. The first sin is, what are you taking the money and burning for? The money is valuable. You have no right to take something of a value and just indiscriminately destroy it. But there's another sin. What's the second sin? What you could have done with that $100 bill? You could have gave it to a poor person before Pesach so he could buy food. So now, not only did you make a sin in burning it, but look at the potential you could have done. You could have taken this $100 bill to somebody and buying a new pair of shoes for Pesach, for the holiday. Or you could have paid somebody's bill in the butcher for $100. It would have taken a lot of burden away from him. So it's a double avon. Number one, you destroyed, and that you didn't do good. Deen ve'ashbon. I want to tell you, even though what I'm going to say now is a little deeper, but it's okay. When a person commits a sin, they tell him that he should make teshuvah. What is teshuvah? I mean, repentance. Hatati, aviti, pachati. The rabbis tell us that there's two types of teshuvah. There's teshuvah mi'ira'ah, and there's teshuvah me'ahava. What does it mean? Teshuvah mi'ira is teshuvah from fear. Sometimes we make a sin and we're scared. We don't want God to punish us because of the sin. We don't want to have bad luck. We don't want Azb Shalom something to happen. So, oh, we're scared of the Gehinnam, of whatever it is. That's a good teshuvah, but that's teshuvah of fear. The Gemara says, teshuvah of fear, you know what it does? It's able to take a sin that you did intentionally, and it downgrades it to an unintentional sin. And God doesn't punish us for unintentional sins, so you're off the hook, basically. It turns a premeditated sin, and God says, you made teshuvah mi'ira'ah, don't worry, I'll count it as a mistake. That's what happens. It's a good thing, it's a great thing. They do this in the courts sometimes. One time I was going to shul, early in the morning, and I was driving down in Deal on Lawrence Avenue, the block of the shul. It's 4:30 in the morning. There's nobody there. I was going very fast because I want to get to the city. Oh, there was a cop. There's a cop on Candy Lane. He's sitting over there. I drove by very quickly. Whoop, we put the siren on. Oh, 4:30 in the morning. I'm not going. I'm waiting. I'm going to a party. Sir, I'm going to this Kanis to pray to God. I'm asking God for forgiveness now. Now I'm asking the cop for forgiveness instead. Anyway, you were traveling 80 miles an hour on Lawrence Avenue. Wow. It's only 20 miles an hour you're allowed to go. 25 miles an hour. So I went to the court. So the prosecutor is in a separate room over there. He says, we want to talk to you before you speak to the judge. He said, listen, if you tell the judge guilty, are you guilty? You're going to say guilty? I'll say whatever you tell me to say. I'll say guilty. And you'll pay a little money? I'll pay my whatever you tell me to pay. Okay, you pay a few $100, say guilty, so we see you feel bad, On your record, we're not going to write that you were driving 80 miles an hour on Lawrence Avenue. We'll say you were driving 15 miles an hour. You could do that. We can do whatever we want. We're the government. We can make a deal with you. Plea bargain. And on your record, it doesn't look so bad. 15 miles on the, over the limit? Big deal. Everybody does that. Okay, what do I have to do? Well, go for the judge and I tell him guilty. Judge, guilty. Ah, guilty? Okay. Don't drive 15 miles over the limit anymore. This is a joke. I was driving 100 miles over the limit. But then I said to myself, that's teshuvah mi'ir'ah. When you make teshuvah mi'ir'ah, God says, listen, if you come and confess the sin, and you feel bad, and you're nervous, in my book, instead of saying that you did it on purpose, I'll write in the book, it was a mistake. Okay, beautiful. Then once I see it's a mistake, I'm not going to punish you. But then it says, there's another type of teshuvah. Teshuvah me'ahava. That sometimes we repent to God, not because we're scared, but out of love, we love Hashem. And sometimes we say to ourselves, Hashem is so good to us. He gives us everything. How did we sin to Him? Oh, how did I hurt somebody that I love so much? And therefore we make teshuvah, not because we're worried He's going to make retribution against us, or He's going to attack us. We're just making teshuvah because we love you, Hashem, forgive us. So God says, when you make teshuvah out of love, I turn the sin into a mitzvah. Now, imagine if you went to the court and you tell the judge, yes, I'm guilty. Why do you say guilty? I'm scared. I don't want to go to jail. Okay, we'll make it that you only went 15 miles over the limit. Then the judge says, why are you saying you're sorry? You know why? Because I love you, the judge. I love you so much. And I love the law so much. And I love the cops. I love everybody. I feel bad that I went against. You're making teshuvah from love? We're going to write in the book that you were driving 80 miles an hour on Lawrence Avenue because you were going to save somebody's life. So you're going to get credit as if you saved somebody's life and you become a hero for this. Wow, unbelievable. All because why? Because I did teshuvah me'ahava. It's unbelievable. So God then says, teshuvah me'ahava. In the book, He changes it. Okay, no unintentional anymore. I'm going to give Him credit as if He did a good deed. So I once heard a question. That's why you shouldn't feel bad if you have a lot of sins. Because if you have a lot of sins, you could turn the sins into mitzvot. I'm not telling you to make sins. But if you have sins already, everybody has sins, one or two sins they have in their pocket, you could turn the sin into gold now. Just by telling God, I love you Hashem, you give me so much, forgive me. God says, oh, forgive you, not only do I erase it, but it becomes a positive. But I once saw a question. Why does God have to turn it into a good deed? Shouldn't we be happy enough that He just took the sin off? Once He writes in the book, it was a mistake. No, you should be happy. Why do you have to go the extra mile to turn it into a mitzvah? But based on what I just told you, now you understand. Because when God looks at the book, it says mistake. So He can't punish us for the mistake. But we're still held accountable that while you were doing that mistake, why weren't you doing something good? The judgment, you're off. But what about the hashbon? And therefore you need to turn the avon into a mitzvah. Because once you turn it into a good deed, now already God does not hold you accountable not only for what you did, but for what you could have done. Because in the book it says you did a good deed. So now you're covered on all fronts. That's a deep interpretation of how teshuvah me'ahava works. If this is true, I'd like to relate this to what it has to do with speech. Everybody knows that they're not allowed to speak. The Hafetz Chaim, the great rabbi from Radin, wrote a whole book with details, all the different conditions and all the different details of what's considered Lashon Hara. These books are very important to read. But I want to make one point very clear to you, that it's not enough to be quiet. It's not enough to say, you know what, I'm not going to say anything, quiet all day long. That a person makes himself like a mute. In a conversation, they all talk, like he made me to that yadayim. He doesn't talk. Of course, it's good not to talk. But our rabbis tell us, certain times, you have to talk. Why did God give you a mouth? Just not to speak bad? Yeah, okay, good. But that's not enough not to speak bad. God wants us to use the mouth for good purposes. Number one, to use the mouth to study Torah. The pasuk says, "V'dibarta bam." Use your mouth for positive speech. Right now, we're studying Torah. We're using our mouth to speak the Holy Torah. I know what you're thinking. You're saying, "Yeah, but you're doing that, Rabbi. We're just listening." It's not so. It's not so. On Friday night, or on Shabbat, when they make Kiddush, the Rabbi makes Kiddush. You're just listening to the Kiddush. What do you say at the end of the Kiddush? Amen. How can you just say one word and you get credit for saying the whole Kiddush? By saying Amen, you get credit of doing the whole thing. The Rabbi said 50 words, 70 words. You say one word, Amen, you get credit. You can eat also. Why? Because the law is Shomeya Ka'oneh. When you listen, it's as if you're saying it. That means, when you hear the rabbi saying Kiddush and you're listening attentively, in Hashem's world, it's like you said the Kiddush. That means right now in the Shi'ur. I'm speaking the words of the Dvarei Torah and you're listening. In Shamayim, they hear a choir of hundreds of voices saying these exact words. It's a symphony. They hear all the voices coming up, not only my voice. My voice is being drowned out because you're more, you have majority. In Shamayim, they hear many voices speaking Dvarei Torah. Oh. God gave us the mouth for tefillah, for praying. It's not enough to pray from the heart. You have to verbalize the tefillot. You have to move your lips to speak the Kadosh Baruch Hu. God gave us the mouth to speak emunah. He'emanti ki adabir. Belief in God must be verbalized. God gave us the mouth to cheer up people. Do you see somebody sad or somebody depressed? Have obligation to use our gift of speech to give chizuk, to give encouragement, to give a good word, to make people happy. So it's not enough to say, that's it. I spoke Lashon Hara, a guy got leprosy, ta'anit dibur for the rest of his life. I'm never talking anything again. No, that's wrong. Hashem doesn't want that either. Hashem doesn't want extremes. Don't speak bad things. But that's not enough not to speak bad things. You have to go and use your mouth for the positive. If that's the case, we understand now. When the fellow comes to the Beit HaMikdash, they tell him to bring two birds. One bird, they slaughter. That's telling the person, keep quiet. Stop chirping. But then they take the other bird and they tell him, set it free. Let the bird chirp. That means certain times you have to learn to be quiet, but at other times you have to use your mouth like the bird does in order to speak. Just to kill the birds is not enough. You're only doing half a story. In the Shamayim, when a person speaks Lashon Hara, they're going to hold them accountable on two things. He's having a conversation with his friend. Ah, did you hear about so-and-so? They say, hey, Dean, judgment, you spoke Lashon Hara, guilty. And then they're going to say, and you know what? You could have been saying positive things during that time. Instead of talking gossip with your friends, you could have spoken to them good words. You could have given them words of chizuk. You could have given them words of tefillah, words of Dvarei Torah. You could have spoken to them words of advice. Instead, you used it for negative. So therefore, every time a person speaks Lashon Hara, there's two punishments. Number one, deen. Guilty, bad talk. And number two, which is the bigger avon, what you could have said during that time. And therefore God says, take two birds. The first bird is deen. That's for what you said. Break that speech. And then the Hashbon, that's the positive speech. What you could have said, that bird has to go free. If this is true, what we're saying now, now we understand. You know, they say the Chafetz Chaim is very talkative. They say he would talk for hours. He would say, what do you mean? The rabbi wrote the book on Lashon Hara. He probably never, I have a way not to talk Lashon. Just walk around all day long. That's not smart. Hashem wants you to do that all day long. Of course not. Don't talk this, but you have to talk that. There's no avon to be talkative. There's no avon to be a conversationalist. There's no avon to speak. Of course you have to speak. We just have to know what. There's so much good things you could talk. That's why the Kohen is the one that's in charge of this ceremony. Why? They say about Aharon HaKohen, he was a man of peace. It says, Ohev Shalom v'Rodef Shalom. Ohev et v'riyot v'kareban v'Torah. He would love to make peace. Whenever he saw two people arguing, what would he do? He'd go to the first guy and say, Oven, what's going on? I saw you fighting with Shimon. That Shimon? You don't know what he is. He did this. He said, well, I don't know. I just went to Shimon. He told me he feels bad. He regrets it. He says, you're really a good guy. You caught him on a bad day. He didn't have his coffee. He's upset. Really? He said that he's upset? Of course. He didn't say it, but Aaron's trying to make the peace. He says, oh, okay, wow, very good. Ah, okay, I feel bad also. Then he goes back to Shimon. Shimon, what happened? That little man, Asha, what he did to me? I just came from Reuven. He says, you're a good guy. He doesn't know why he snapped at you. Meanwhile, nobody said anything. Aaron would go to this guy, tell him one thing. Now Reuven and Shimon see themselves in the street. Oh, Reuven, you're Shimon. They hug each other. And Aaron's winking his eye in the background. Look, we made the... Now imagine if Aaron would say, I'm not getting involved. So, Chokmah, where's the Chokmah? Very good, you didn't talk. You want credit for that? So meanwhile, people are fighting each other, people are killing each other. Then you're, no, that's not, I don't want to get involved. The greatness of Aaron was that he spoke when he was supposed to. And with this, he made the world much better. He used the Kawad Dibur. But what? As much as Aaron knew how to talk, he knew more how to, not to talk, how to be silent. You remember on that day when he lost his two sons, Bar Menan? What a terrible tragedy. The happiest day of his life, his two sons, Nadab and Avihu, were taken away from him. Sudden death. He wasn't expecting it. And the Torah says his reaction was, Vayidom Aharon. And Aharon remained silent. This is a time where normally people would say, what's God doing to me? What is this over here? God, you know all my service that I've done for you all the years? All I do is serve you. And this is the reward that you give me? That would be a normal reaction. People have questions on God. I do so much. I dedicated my life for God. And this is the candy that you give me back, you take away Bar Menan's two children. He could have said a lot of things if he wanted to. He could have opened his mouth and complained and had claims and speak very, very much. And you know what his reaction was? Now's not a time for speaking. There's certain times to speak, that's when you're making peace. And there's other times where you're supposed to keep quiet, because when God is running the world, God knows what He's doing. And God's much smarter than all of us. And even what seems to us as a mystery and seems to us as impossible to understand, Borei Olam is much smarter. How can a creation understand the Creator? I didn't create myself. I'm not so smart how to create myself. If I wanted to make a rabbi mitzvah, how would I make it? I don't know how to make it. What do I do? Put the flour, water, oil. How do you make yourself? We don't know how to make ourselves. God made ourselves. So how can we understand God? We're only a creation. The creation cannot understand the Creator. And therefore Aharon's reaction was, well, you're dumb, keep quiet. By the way, when it says, well, you're dumb, Aharon, he kept quiet, you may ask, That's a funny word, Vayidov. I never saw that word before. Maybe you should say Vayishtok. Like Shetika. Why use the word Vayidov? I saw Rodan Sfarim Kedoshim. There's four levels of creation. You know the four levels of creation? That's Ham. What's it? That's Ham. Domem, Tzomeach, Hai, Medaber. I'll explain it to you. Domem is inanimate object. Domem, like this table, it's inanimate. Tzomeach is things that grow. That's a higher level. Then you have Hai, that's the animals. And then you have Medaber, the human beings. It's a scale, it goes up. Human beings have feelings. If somebody hits us, we feel it. We have emotions. An animal has feelings as well. An animal has emotions. Even a plant feels things. Maybe you know some people, they talk to their plants. They talk to their plants. They sing to their plants. My grandmother used to sing to the plants and talk to the plants. She did. She had the beautiful plants that used to grow very, very tall. Is that because we talked to them? There's a certain feeling that they have. But the table is a domain. The table has no feelings. Sometimes when I'm giving the class, I go like this. Somebody says, oh, Hazit, the table, what does the table do to you? Don't worry, don't feel it. The table doesn't feel anything. You think the table's screaming? Oh, what's the rabbi hitting me for? The table has no feelings. There's no emotions on the table. It's domain. They say, Vayidom Aharon. Aharon, when he heard the news, Vayidom, he made himself like domem. No, it didn't affect him. He didn't feel it. His emunah na kadosh baruch hu is so great. He didn't feel it. It's like you're doing this to a table. Does the table feel it? Vayidom, he made himself like a domem. You know who the best role model in the world is for the mitzvah? The best role model in the world is Aharon HaKohen. Aharon comes and makes a house call. And the fellow sees Aharon and says, wow, this is a good role model. He knows when to talk, he knows when not to talk. He uses his speech to bring peace in the world, and he keeps quiet, he doesn't question God's judgment, he doesn't speak Lashon Hara about Hashem either. And therefore the reason why the Kohen runs the ceremony of the Tzara'at, because he's the role model. It's not enough to tell the guy to flash him out. He needs to see a human being that lives by the right principles. He talks when he's supposed to, and he keeps quiet when he's supposed to. Not just to keep quiet. Aharon symbolizes the lifestyle of the Torah. He has the sipor that chirps, and he knows when to kill the bird, not to chirp. He has both. There's no better way to teach somebody a lesson than through a role model. That's the best way you can teach somebody, through an example. If this is true, ladies, I want to tell you what the Gemara says. It says in Pasuk, Hakol kol Yaakov, v'hayadayim yedei Esav. I'm going to bring you back many moons ago when we read the parasha when Yaakov went to get the blessings from his father. Yitzchak Abinu was blind. So Yaakov dressed up like his brother Esav. He put on the hairy clothes. So when he came in, Yitzhak said, who are you? Anochi Esav v'chorecha. I am Esav. So he says, come here, let me feel you. He feels him. He feels hairy. So Yitzhak says, strange. Kol kol Yaakov. The voice sounds like Yaakov's voice. But the yadayim yad Esav. But the hands feel like Esav. So the Gemara says in this pasuk, כשהכל כל יעקב אין הידיים ידי עשיו. When the voice is the voice of Yaakov, then the hands of Esav do not exist. What does this mean? The hands of Esav refer to the hands of our enemies. Esav is the, not only Esav himself, all his descendants. Whether that's Amalek, whether that's the Germans, or whether it's all the other enemies, all the anti-Semites that are looking to destroy Am Yisrael. When the voice is the voice of Yaakov, when Yaakov is using his voice for the right things, you don't have to worry for Esav. When God comes into the Midrash and hears the boys learning Torah, the voice of Yaakov Avinu is resonating in the yeshivas, you don't have to worry about Esav. That's the biggest weapon. That's the biggest artillery, that's the biggest defense system. When the ladies come into the Knesset and they read Tehillim in a group, Kishakol Kol Yaakov, God says, what's that noise? I hear a lot of noise coming from the shul over there on Ocean Parkway. What are they doing? 100 women reading Tehillim. Finish. God says to all the anti-Semites, you're blocked. You cannot attack them. Kishakol Kol Yaakov, ena yadayim yedei asab. When you hear the kids in the yeshiva across the street, you hear them in the classroom? Of course we hear them. That's music. When the kids are learning in the yeshiva, ena yadayim yedei asab, we're protected from yedei asab. I'll tell you a secret. A few years ago, one of the yeshivas, they decided to do away with Sunday school. They came to me and said, Rabbi, what's your opinion? It was my opinion. I said, as a child, I hated Sunday school. The worst day of the week to go to school. I said, if you were asking me 8 years old, I would tell you it's the best thing. But now that I'm not 8 years old anymore, and I got a little wiser and smarter, I have some gray hairs, white hairs even, now I know a little more than when I was 8 years old. If you were asking me at 8 years old, I'd say, yes, shut the school down. Guess what? I would say, shut it on Monday also. But now I got a little smarter. And I learned this from my rabbi, Acham Baruch Alav Shalom. You know why we need Sunday school? For a million reasons. But you want to know the million and one reason? Because when the kids are learning Torah, we're protected. You want to make a decision to stop that? I don't have the ability to make such a decision. Where you could tell the kids, today take off. All that good noise that comes out of the windows of the yeshiva from the boys and the girls studying Torah, you want to take that decision? As if you want to tell the police officers, Sunday don't go, you don't have to work Sundays. You know what would be the bedlam that would break out in Manhattan if there was one day without policemen? You told all the security people, take off today. I said, what would happen? We want to make a decision to one day a week stop the security of Am Yisrael by stopping the children from studying Torah. Anyway, that's a long story which I won't get into. Akol kol Yaakov, yadayim yedei, ena yadayim yedei Esav. But I want you to note one thing. Look in the Chumash when you have a chance. Maybe later, maybe you're busy. Maybe on Shabbat you'll do it. It says, Hakol Kol Yaakov. You see, it says it twice. Kol Kol Yaakov. If you look at the first Hakol, it says the voice is the voice of Yaakov. Hakol Kol. If you look at the first Hakol, it's written here, Kof Lamed. The second Kol is written Kof Vav Lamed. Now you might say, what's the difference? We read it the same way. Hakol, Kol Yaakov. But in the Sefer Torah, we don't have nikudot. There's no dots in the Sefer Torah. Actually, the first word can be read, Hekal. Hekal means, when the voice of Jacob is Hekal, is quiet. And the second word is written, Kol. Kol means, when the voice of Jacob is resonating, is loud. Which means the Torah is coming to tell you, the way we get saved from our enemies is you need two things, Hekal and Kol. You have to know when to be quiet and you have to know when to talk. You need both. Not just, I don't speak Lashon Hara. That's good, Hekal, but what do you speak? That's for instance, I don't burn $100 bills. I was like, Baruch, what do you do with $100 bills? Nothing, I keep it in my pocket. So you did nothing. You have to give it to the Aniim. Who's asking you to keep it in your pocket? And therefore the Pasuk is telling you two things. Hekal, Kol. You need to do both. You need to know when to be quiet and more importantly, speak a lot. There's so much good we can do with our Dibur. What does this have to do with Pesach? I'm not obligated to connect anything to Pesach. The Chiddush is done. But as a bonus, because I know you're all thinking about Pesach, so I'll connect it. The class is officially over. Now I'm giving you an extra. Why did we go down to Egypt, as I explained to you? It all started with Lashon Hara. Yosef spoke to the father. So the brothers, they're doing this, they're doing that. The brothers are going to tell you, what are you going to daddy? What are you talking about me for? And they get angry and they resented him. They threw him into a pit. Eventually he came out of the pit. They sold him to the Egyptians. Eventually Yaakov wanted to see his son 21 years later. So he had to go down to Egypt. And once he went down to Egypt, they never left for 210 years. So if you look at the root of when it all started on that day that the brothers spoke Lashon Hara. That's why we say in the Haggadah Shel Pesach. Vayered Misraima. We went down to Egypt. And then the Haggadah explains. What do you mean we went down to Egypt? It says, Anus Alpi Adibur. Simply it means we went down against our will. Alpi Adibur. Because God said go down. The Dibur of God. God said you have to go down. We cannot argue with God. But based on what I'm telling you today, you know why we went down? Alpi Adibur. Because of the speech. Whose speech? The brothers. That they spoke Lashon Hara. Vayered Misraima Anus Alpi Adibur. And therefore, on the night of Pesach, we have to fix the bad speech. So what should we do on the night of Pesach? Everybody will sit around the table. Okay, Rabotai, we're not going to talk for an hour. Let me just sit there. It's silly. They spoke bad, so we're going to make Tani Dibur. Even though in some homes that would be a good idea. But on the night of Pesach, what's the whole mitzvah of the night? Magid. What is Magid? Speak. Tell the story. Read the Haggadah. Read. It's the only night of the year we bring books to the table. And what do we do with the table? Shi'ur. Ma'aseh b'rabbi Eliezer. You, young boy, what do you have to say about the Haggadah? Say something. You have a question. Ask a question. Give an answer. Continue reading. When do you ever bring a book to the table and you're reading a book at the table? Because since the sin was in what they spoke, so Borei Olam says, it's not enough to come to the table and be quiet. Now show me the positive things you do with your speech. Teach the kids emunah. Teach the kids faith. Teach them about their heritage. Teach them about their tradition. Teach them about the miracles of God. Instill in them the beauty of the Yahadut. Teach them about the mitzvot. That's the tikkun for the brothers. And that's why, what do we call the holiday? Pesach. You know what Pesach stands for? Pesach. Pe is the mouth. Pesach means to speak, the suhaya, to converse. The holiday of Pesach means Pesach. Speak with your mouth, don't be quiet. Of course, be quiet from the Lashon Hara. And that's why we explained once. I'll tell you a chiddush and I'll conclude. There was a great rabbi called Rav Levi Yitzchak Miberdichev. He was a big tzaddik. He lived a few hundred years ago. I had the zechut to be at the rabbi's grave Tuesday, 2 days ago. I was in Berdichev. It's in Ukraine. Yeah, far away. They go on a plane. And in Berdichev, we went to the grave of the big tzaddik. And we prayed, and we made tikkunim, and we did whatever we had to do with the grave. And then, amazing thing, Berdichev's old city, old village. We had a dinner in Berdichev to celebrate that we were able to be zochet to come to the tzaddik. We went to the old shul in Berdichev. We had a seudah with 50 people. And the rabbi over there made a beautiful seudah. We said the Bnei Torah, and we said Pizmonim, in honor of the tzaddikim. This was a great night. So at the kever, I said over some hadushim of the rabbi. Because they say when you say over the hadush of the rabbi, his lips are moving in the grave. Which is a big zechut to get there. You're activating the rabbi. You're bringing him alive. Before you want to ask the rabbi for a favor, you got to get him alive a little. So you say some divrei Torah, he starts moving his mouth. Oh, he's alive. Give me this, give me that, give me the other thing. So one of the Hiddushim Rav Levi Yitzchak Mebedichev said was, it says in Pasuk, Lo yachel devaro, kechol ha-yotze mipiv, ya'aseh. The Pasuk says, Lo yachel devaro, if a person makes a vow, I vow I'm going to do this, this, this. So the Torah says, Lo yachel devaro, don't profane your speech. You said you're going to do something, kechol ha-yotze mipiv, whatever came out of your mouth, ya'aseh, you have to do it. You can't just make a commitment, I'll take care of it. And then you never take care of it. Oh, you say you're going to do it, you have to do it. Yes, yes, no, no. But the Levi Yitzchak Mebedichev explained like this. Lo yachel devaro. If a person doesn't abuse his speech, he speaks only the right things. You know, lashon hara, not about people. He doesn't speak bad about anybody. Lo yachel devaro, he didn't abuse and mistreat his speech. Guess what? Kechol ha-yotze mipiv, then whatever comes out of his mouth, ya'aseh, Hashem will follow it. You know why Hashem sometimes doesn't answer our prayers? Is it because the mouth that we're using to pray to God is filled with a lot of dirt? So you can't use the same vessel, it's dirty. So he says, first make your mouthpiece pure, then whatever you're going to ask God, kechol ha-yotze mipiv, whatever comes out of the mouth, ya'aseh, God will fulfill it. That's why before Kippur, you know how we start Kippur? Kal nidre. Everybody gets up. Kal nidre. And this is the holiest moment of the year. Nobody knows why it's so holy, but they know we have to come to Kal Nidre. And what is it? They don't even know what the words mean. Kal Nidre. Maybe it's some sort of Kabbalah or something, you know, mysticism. No, you know what Kal Nidre is? You're asking God, forgive me for all the sins that I made with my mouth. If I made a Nidr, or a Shivu'ah, or a Kunnam, or a Hadith, these are all sins of the speech. You know why you have to open up Kippur with Kal Nidre? Because I'm going to spend now the next 25 hours using my mouth to ask for a million and one things. So first, I have to clean the mouth. Forgive me for all the avonot of the speech. Lo yachel devaro. Now that your mouth is not profane, kechol ha-yotze mipiv ya'aseh. Whatever you ask was going to happen. So we said that. Once we said that, we all said, Hatati amiti parashati. No more lashon hara. Now we can ask the tzaddik to ask Hashem to give us all our desires that we need to serve Hashem properly. And this is the musar over here. There's two levels. The level of Lashon Hara, which is Deen, but then there's Hezbon. So you didn't speak, Azaku Baruch, but what did you do with it? Sur Mera, Va'aseh Tov. It's not enough to keep away from bad. You have to do something good. You can't just go through life and say, I didn't do any bad. Good, what did you do good but? You just kept on doing no bad. Do something good. Therefore you have to speak. And that's Pesach, and that's Magid. You must use your mouth to speak the emunah and the tefillah, and then be'azat Hashem. It'll be fulfilled that kol kol Yaakov. When the voice is the voice of Yaakov, he kal kol, and we have both. The live bird and the bird that's slaughtered on the Mizbeach. Then be'azat Hashem, en ha'yadayim yedei Esav. Kadosh Baruch Hu will rid us of all our enemies. Kadosh Baruch Hu matzilenu miyadam, God will save us from the hands. And then be'azat Hashem, all the tefillot will be answered. Kechol ha-yotze mipiv, ya'aseh.